and I would like to, I'm going to use the Modern English Version this morning, just because it's fun, and it's a little bit different way to hear than what we sometimes are used to. So this morning, I want us to think about some good news. Has anyone had any good news recently? Okay, I didn't ask if you watched the television this week to see what they were broadcasting on the news. All sorts of different things in news, and some different things in that may have some prophetic aspects to it happened this week as well. But do you like good news? Okay. You like good news. Did anyone get a tax rebate? Okay, maybe. Some people are going to get some tax rebates. That's good news, right? There's lots of things that are good news, right? Sometimes you make a mistake on your taxes and you get more back than what you anticipated. I have a friend who accidentally forgot to put that she was owed a refund on her taxes. So she spent all this time paying, and then the government realized, hey, she actually gets a refund. So for a little while, she got her money back, which was great. It was like a bonus, like getting money, but it was really her own money that she was getting. But still, she got it back from the government, which was great. There we go. I think it's important that we spread good news. When you get good news, you want to tell it around, don't you? I know when something good happens for me, I'm on the phone right away telling my mom all about it, or my brother all about it, telling them the good news. Even if it's just a super good deal that I got while I was out shopping. How many of you like to look at clearance shelves? I'm a clearance shopper. Okay, and I would have to say that God has blessed me a lot. We had a very nice, when I lived out west, we had a very nice Hallmark store. Anyone like to shop at Hallmark? Yeah, right? Well, that particular Hallmark had sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they would have a 90% off aisle. That's the time to shop at Hallmark, when they've got a 90% off aisle. You can collect all sorts of nice gifts. I have really nice Hallmark ornaments for my Christmas tree, but I want you to know I never paid full price for any of them, I don't think. I got most of them at 90% off or at least 50% off. I did have my limits. Good news, you want to share. You want to share good news. And it's not just sales, and it's not just the price of butter. When the price of butter goes down, are you on the phone, ladies, to your friends, saying, go to such and such a store, they've got butter on for a good price? Good friends tell other good friends about butter sales. I want us to look at some really great news that we are very familiar with. But if we look in Luke chapter 23, I want us to have a little background of what happened. Because what seemed at first like not good news turned into good news, but it sounded like really bad news to begin with. Remember, the disciples felt like Jesus was going to establish his kingdom right then and there. He was going to overthrow the Roman soldiers, overthrow Roman rule, and yeah, and he would establish a kingdom right then and there. And that's what they were looking for. And you know that even after Jesus died and was resurrected, if you look in Acts chapter 1, you can see that they're still thinking that way. But Jesus had something very different in mind, and God had something very different in mind. But it looked like the end when they crucified Jesus. This was not what his disciples were expecting. They were all kind of in shock, and you remember they even hid for a little while. I want us to look at the background of Jesus' burial. If we look in Luke 23, and we're going to look at verse 50. In Luke 23, verse 50, it says, Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, who was a good and just man. He had not consented to their counsel and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, and he himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took him down and wrapped him in linen and placed him in a hewn tomb where no one had ever been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was drawing near. The women who came with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. Remember, Jesus was crucified right before the Sabbath. And Sabbath went from sundown Friday night, to sundown Saturday evening. That was the Sabbath rest. So these women, after they had taken Jesus' body down from the cross, they followed them to the tomb. And they saw how the body was placed. And it was customary for them to prepare spices to place on the body and around the body as the bodies were decaying in the tombs. So they were doing what women normally did. Even though they were sad, upset, didn't understand, they were still doing for Jesus what they knew they were supposed to do, what was customary. They couldn't do anything on the Sabbath because that was a day of rest. And you certainly didn't go touch any dead person on the Sabbath either. That would have been against the rules. So they waited until after the Sabbath had passed. I want us to look a little further. Everyone was upset. Joseph of Arimathea, he was one of the ruling council, and he didn't agree with them putting Jesus to death. It says he didn't agree with what was done. And so he asked for the body of Jesus and placed it in a tomb. Criminals didn't always get such a good burial. Jesus wasn't a criminal. We know that he was the perfect Son of God. Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and placed it in a tomb. If you were a criminal crucified, they may have left you for a sky burial. Do you know what a sky burial is? The birds eat you. Kind of gross, isn't it? Those bodies of criminals would just be taken and disposed of, and the birds would come and do their thing. All of the scavenger birds come and do their thing. And that was known as a sky burial. Okay. So Jesus wasn't left to that. We know that there was a prophecy as well that Jesus' body would not see decay, that he wouldn't stay there very long. But the women are just thinking about what they need to do. They're thinking about, we've got to get back and we've got to anoint Jesus' body with these spices. We've got to wrap these spices in with him. So here's where the story picks up. And this is where the good news picks up. I don't know why it's not working for me today. Thank you. We're going to pick up and where the good news starts. The good news starts. The good news of Jesus' resurrection is shared to the women, who then share it with the disciples. Let's look at Luke 24, just going on in Luke 24. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were greatly perplexed concerning this," now remember, they had probably done this before, gone in and wrapped spices in with the body of someone who was dead. They go into this tomb and the body is not there. This is why they're perplexed. "While they were greatly perplexed concerning this, suddenly two men stood by them in shining garments, As they were afraid and bowed their faces to the ground, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again?'" Then they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed like fables to them, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. He departed, wondering in himself what had happened. I want to remind you that there was a big stone that had been rolled in front of the door. And in some of the other accounts, it talks about the women were worried about how they were going to roll the stone away from in front of the door. In fact, it said that there was even a seal on it so that no one could go in. Because the establishment was afraid that someone was going to go in and steal Jesus' body and say, make claims about him that he was alive somewhere else. So that's why they had sealed the tomb. They had the big stone rolled in front because they didn't want anyone going in. They didn't want any chance of anything happening. Now the women didn't roll the stone away. The guards didn't roll the stone away. God raised Jesus from the dead. Whether he gave Jesus superpowers to roll the stone away, whether the stone moved on its own, whether God took his finger and came down and rolled it back, it doesn't matter. The point is, the grave was open and Jesus was not in there because he wasn't dead. He was no longer dead. He had risen from the dead, just like he told his disciples he was going to do. There are many tombs to dead leaders in the world. A lot of tombs to dead leaders. In fact, you can go visit the tomb of King David, or the supposed tomb of King David, when you go over to Israel. I've gotten to see that. You can't get up close and personal because there's bars in between. You have to kind of look in between because it's considered a holy site. You can do that. You can go and see where other religious leaders are buried, and their tombs are there. Jesus is the one that has an empty tomb. He didn't stay dead. God raised him back to life. This is amazing news. This Jesus whom they've served is no longer dead, but is alive. That brings all of the hopes back to the forefront. It means that something special has happened, that this really is God's son. The centurion that stood by when Jesus was being crucified, he said, "Surely this was a righteous man. This was the Son of God." He recognized that this was no ordinary crucifixion, that there was something special happening there. And you can read about it in the other accounts in Matthew and in parts of Mark. And in Luke, you can read about it as well. But he knew that this was special, something different. They had good news. I love these pictures because it shows the women being kind of astonished. And these are just artist renderings. We don't know. They didn't have Polaroid cameras back then, so we can't really tell what anyone really looked like. However, the women seeing the men in shining garments saying, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And then Peter, and we also know that John ran to the tomb as well, looking at the empty tomb where they knew they had buried Jesus. They knew that Jesus was in there, but now he's gone. He's not there. The tomb is empty. This is good news. Yes, Michelle.
I was going to say, even if somebody had a
There would be. But we know it was miraculous. And in part of the scriptures, it says, there's a part that says where the soldiers were given money, the soldiers that were supposed to stand guard, they were given hush money. They were given hush money by the Roman government and by the ruling religious council because they couldn't explain what exactly had happened. But they knew. They knew. The tomb was empty because of the resurrection power that was there. The resurrection power. I want us to think about that good news because that was really good news. Jesus is no longer dead. He's risen from the dead. All of the implications that has. Because they were looking for a kingdom to come. They were looking for the establishment of something right then and there. The hopes had been reinvented. The hopes were alive. But they were afraid now. You see, it says that Peter departed, wondering in himself what had happened. He had been there to hear Jesus' words too. But he couldn't quite believe it yet. It was just too magnificent and too marvelous of the message. It was like it was too good to be true. It's like if someone came to you and said, you've won $1 million free and clear and nobody's going to bother you about it. You can do whatever you want. Like, that would be hard to believe, wouldn't it? I know I would have a hard time believing that. Peter was having a hard time believing that Jesus was risen from the dead. Because it doesn't happen every day. I mean, there are plenty of funeral homes with plenty of people around. And we don't see those people walking around. There was some further good news. I wanted you to notice that the women didn't keep the news to themselves. They spread it. Where did they go? Directly to the disciples. And to all those who had followed Jesus. They went to all of them. They went to all of them and they spread that good news that Jesus was risen from the dead. People were having a hard time believing it. Now I want us to look a little bit further at what happens. If we pick up in verse 13, it says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they communed and reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, what kind of communication are you sharing with one another while you are walking and are sad? One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only foreigner in Jerusalem who does not know what has happened there in these days? He said to them, what things? I think that is one of the funniest things in Scripture. It's where Jesus plays dumb. The one time Jesus plays dumb is he says, what things? Like, what's happened? I just find it hilarious. Jesus is getting them into conversation by playing dumb, and he says, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was to redeem Israel. Moreover, today is the third day since these things happened. Even some women from among us who arrived early at the tomb surprised us when they did not find his body. They returned saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. He said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. They drew near the village where they were traveling, and he seemed to be going farther. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is far spent." So he went in to stay with them. As he sat at supper with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the way, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" They rose up and returned to Jerusalem at once, and they found the 11 and those who were with them assembled together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they reported what had happened on the way and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. I love this. Jesus comes up to these two travelers and he just joins in traveling on the way. And it says it was about a 7-mile journey. Now, to let you know what a 7-mile journey is, it's about 7.21 miles between Thorold and Niagara Falls. So if you've been to Thorold and you've been to Niagara Falls, between Thorold and Niagara Falls is about 7.21 miles. Okay? So I want you to feature this in your mind. So if you go by car from Thorold to Niagara Falls, it's about 22 minutes. If you decided to walk between Thorold and Niagara Falls, it would take you approximately 4 hours. So they had a long walk where Jesus is explaining to them from Moses and the prophets onward all about the things about the Messiah that was to come and the different prophecies. He's explaining to them about himself. And he's walking along and they don't even recognize him, but their hearts are burning within them because they're like, "This man is just opening this up to us, and we understand this, and we agree with this." And they're going along, and they don't recognize that it's Jesus until they get to the meal, and he breaks the bread. There must have been some way that he broke bread that was special, because then their eyes were opened, and they could see that it was Jesus. And then he disappears from their sight. What do? It says they ran back to Jerusalem. Now, they've just walked a good 4 hours, okay, approximately. And this was time. They probably didn't arrive back in Jerusalem until it was about dark, okay? Now, if you've walked for 4 hours someplace, it's got to be good news if you're running back that far to spread the message. It has got to be fantastic news. Would any of you run between Thorold and Niagara Falls for any good news? Maybe, if the news was good enough, depending on what the news was. The news was that Jesus really, truly was alive. That it wasn't just a myth, that nobody had stole his body, that all of those rumors that were circulating, some of them true, some of them not true, that he really was alive and that he could be seen, that he was there. If you go on later in the chapter, you see that he goes on to appear to the disciples, and at first they wonder if he's a ghost, and he says, "No, give me something to eat." So they give him some honey to eat, and he said, "You know, if I were a ghost, I couldn't eat this. You know, I'm really alive again. It's really me. I really have substance. I'm really here." And so they had this good news that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. He had overcome death. That's the greatest news ever. Isn't that our hope? That we will overcome death because of Christ's death. It says Christ is the first fruits of those who sleep. So he's the first one who was ever resurrected to eternal life. Now, there were a couple of other resurrections that happened, like Lazarus, but he was resurrected to just regular life. He wasn't resurrected to eternal life, to immortal life. Jesus was resurrected to immortality, where he could no longer die again. The same is true for us. We will be resurrected to immortality. We won't be able to die again. That is a way to say, we've got victory. We have victory over death through Christ. We don't even have to worry about it. I was trying to explain it to some young people at one time, and I said, it's like if you, once you're resurrected, nothing can hurt you anymore. Those rattlesnakes on the path, you could be bitten and they wouldn't kill you. They wouldn't harm you because you have immortality. You could walk up to someone who's shooting an arrow at you and it would hurt you because you have immortality. You have the ability not to die anymore. That's great news. And you know, when I'm resurrected, if Jesus doesn't come back first, one of the things I want to do, and this is going to sound crazy to all of you probably, have you ever seen those people in those suits, those cliff diving suits? They have like those big wing thingies, and it's like this whole suit, and they're called cliff divers. Yeah, one of the most famous ones had a terrible accident and died, but you know, like, yeah, whatever. There are these cliff divers, and they have these suits, and when the wind is just right, they go off the cliff, they catch the wind, and they soar all the way down to the bottom of the valley. Now, you have to be up high before you can do that. But it's just amazing when you see these people do that. But my thought is, right now, I'm like, my luck, I'd get the wrong wind current that would just drop me flat to the bottom, and that'd be the end of me. But when I'm in my resurrected self, I want to do that because it just looks like so much fun. It just looks like so much fun, and like you could just, you know, go around and see God's creation from a whole different angle. And I just think that would be so great with immortality, not being able to die. Then I will be brave enough to try that. However, in this life, I don't think I'm going to try it. So, they spread the good news. The disciples spread the good news about Jesus' resurrection. The women shared the good news about Jesus' resurrection. Cleopas and the other one who were on the road to Emmaus, they shared the good news of the resurrection. They shared the good news about Jesus. Remember, Jesus was also their teacher, their friend. Jesus wasn't just some ghostly white-looking guy that, you know, some of the old pictures that you see. No. He was brave. He went against the norm. He was a friend to people. He went against the religious establishment in good, positive ways. Not as a rebel, but as a one who was bringing God's ways to the people. The spirit of what God had meant by what he said. Not all these man-made rules that had been added to it and added to it. They spread the good news about Jesus. They talked about it. They talked about it a lot. Now, who were other people who talked about the good news about Jesus? Well, there was the woman at the well whom Jesus offered living water. Remember, she went and told her friends, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. And those friends came and they listened to Jesus too. And remember, she was a Samaritan woman. Jews didn't normally associate with Samaritans because Samaritans were considered a lesser people. A lesser half-breed of people. They were half-Jews. And that's why they were considered like a half-breed of people. And the Jews kind of looked down their noses at the Samaritans. Okay? You think racial tensions are a new thing? Uh-uh. They existed in Scripture too. They look down on the Samaritans. But Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. And she says, can I get you a drink? And he says, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for living water and you would never thirst again. And she says, I'm a sinful woman. And he says, I know. You've had a whole string of husbands and you're not even, the one you're living with isn't even your husband now. And she goes off and tells her friends, come meet a man who told me everything about myself and I didn't even have to say anything. And he's got some good things to say. And he even decided to talk to me. Because the Samaritans knew how the Jews felt about them. And he had talked to her. Who else? Well, there was the Gadarene demoniac, whom Jesus restored to his right mind. We read in our Bible study recently in Mark. It was about Mark 6 or so, that you read about the Gadarene demoniac. He was demon-possessed. He was, even chains wouldn't hold him. He hung out in the tombs. Jesus came and delivered him. And then what does he want to do? He wants to go along with Jesus. And he wants to tell everyone the wonderful thing that Jesus has done for him. I mean, this man was an outcast. He was living in the cemetery, for pity's sake. He didn't have control over himself, and Jesus restores him to his right mind. This is amazing what Jesus has done. He wants to tell other people. Now the next one, the deaf and mute man, who Jesus healed in the region of Decapolis, and you can read about that also in Mark 7, I believe. You can read about that. And what did the deaf mute man want to do? He said they wanted to tell other people what had happened, how Jesus had healed him. Jesus implores them at the end of the chapter. He says, don't tell anyone what's happened. Okay? Do you ever think Jesus was just being facetious? I'm just not sure if it was like a don't tell because then, you know, people will go tell. I'm not sure. I don't have the mind of Christ to know what exactly he was thinking there. But he says, don't tell anyone. But they go and spread the news even more about what Jesus has done for them. And that's amazing. They spread the good news about Jesus. Well, what about you and me? What about you and me? Do we spread the good news about Jesus? There's a lot to spread. We live in a really broken world. A super, super broken world. When I asked if there was any good news, and Mikey kind of chuckled and said, yeah, right, like there's good news around. Well, we live in a broken world. Did you know that in Canada there are about 4,500 deaths each year by suicide? That's an average of about 12 suicides a day. That's sobering. Globally, around the world, there are approximately 800,000 suicides each year. That's heartbreaking. If the statistic for Canada wasn't heartbreaking enough, when I read that, 800,000 suicides globally each year. People taking their own life because of their situation or they are down on hope or it's awful. Each one of us is made in the image of God and has great potential. We have great gifts that have been given to us. Each one of us is important to somebody else. Each one of us has a role to play in life. Some people think that they don't have any role to play in life. Yes, you do. When you were at that stop sign and that young family came up and that toddler about ran out into traffic and you put your arm out and you stopped that toddler from running out, that toddler might be the next neurosurgeon. They might be the next great lawyer. Teacher, artist, person who composes music that has never been heard before. Each one of us has been given infinite, wonderful gifts from God and talents from God. Each one of us is important. And to think that 800,000 people each year lose sight of that or don't know that and end their lives. It's awful. The divorce rate in Canada is at about 38%. Good news for people over 50 that you have a good chance of staying together. Okay, that was one of the other statistics, so that was good. So the divorce rate in Canada is at about 38%. That's not a great rate, right? But think about this. 358,244 persons, I'm going to repeat that number, 358,244 persons reported to police domestic violence in the home in Canada in 2019. That doesn't make you want to cry. I don't know what does. That's a lot of people experiencing a lot of abuse. That shouldn't be. In 2019, almost 26,680 children were living in foster care situations. Praise God for foster families, for good foster families. Some are good foster families, some are not as good foster families. You can hear stories on both sides of that. But 26,680 children were living in foster care situations where they've had to be removed from the home because of some situation. They do try and reunite children with parents in a successful way, but sometimes it's not successful. Sometimes they have to stay in foster care. Sometimes they're adopted. Sometimes they're adopted into wonderful families. You might remember Michael Sisler, who was here, brought us our New Year's Day service. He and his wife adopted two of the foster children that they had fostered. They got to foster them twice because the reunification with the birth parent was not successful. And they decided to adopt their two children. The two children that they had two of their own and they adopted two. But they adopted their two foster children. And it's been a joy to see them grow. And a joy to get to know them. And the joy that those children have being in a good home. Having a good foundation to work from. These are terrible things that are in our world. But we have good news to spread. We have good news to share. We have really good news to share, and we should share it. Now, I want to bring to your attention one last scripture. If we look in Luke 6, Jesus says this. We're going to look at verse 43. A good tree does not bear corrupt fruit, nor does a corrupt tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. Men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a wild bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bears what is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bears what is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of our heart is what comes out of our mouth. What comes out of our mouth is our testimony. Now, I'm not talking about some formal testimony about, you know, how Christ came into your life. What I'm talking about is your everyday testimony, what comes out of your mouth. Is it things that are glorifying to God? Is it things that are praiseworthy? Is it things that are pure and noble and good? Is it the way that God has blessed you? And yes, everyone does have a down day where you just need to go ahead and say, I am really having a struggling day today, and I'm having a hard time, but I know God is good, but I'm having a hard time. Okay? And that's okay. But the majority of what comes out of our mouth should be a testimony to God. It should be pointing people towards Jesus. It should be saying what is good, the wonderful ways that he has worked in our lives. That good news should be shared, and it should be shared from our heart. If you are excited about something that God has done for you, then you should share that. You should share it. Even if you say, wasn't that a beautiful sunset God painted the other night? Or did you see that sunrise God painted this morning? Now, some people will think that God was actually out there with the paintbrush. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's a figure of speech. God makes everything work together. He created it all. So he works in it all. We need to make sure the testimony that comes out of our mouth is something that gives glory to the Lord. Just like the disciples shared the good news of Jesus' resurrection, we can share the good news too and say, hey, I serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. I don't serve someone who's dead, whose grave you can visit. I serve a living Savior, one who cares about me. That is one of the biggest differences in world religions. We serve a God and we serve Jesus, and they care about us. We're not just servants to them. They care about us. And if you've never looked at that, if you look at other religions, you'll notice that it's just people doing stuff for the gods. The gods don't do stuff for the people. They're not intimately connected to the people. Whereas God and his son Jesus, they are intimately connected with us. They care about us. They want to work within our lives and not just us work for them. It's a two-way street. And that's the best scenario, isn't it? Best scenario. We have excellent news to share about Jesus. Excellent news to share about Jesus. And it should come from our heart. And if you can't think of anything to share, I want you to think about this. Dave, I don't want you to try and write down what I'm going to say next, okay? I'm going to skip to this next slide, but I don't want you to try and write down what I'm going to tell you. Because I was thinking about it this week, and this is my list that I came up with, and I'm sure that there are others that you can put on there too. But I want to tell you that Jesus gives hope to the hopeless, worth to the unworthy. Jesus brings belonging to the outcast. Jesus brings rest for the weary. Jesus brings peace to the troubled soul. He brings clarity to the confused. He pays the debt for the debtor. He wipes away the tears of the grieving. He brings wholeness to the broken. He offers forgiveness to the sinner. He is a friend to the friendless. He gives joy to the downhearted. He brings light into the darkness. He brings understanding to the simple. He loves the unlovable. He is willing to touch the untouchable. He brings freedom to the prisoner. He breaks the chains of those in bondage. Jesus offers a way home to the wayward. Jesus offers understanding to the misunderstood. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the light of the world. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. His name is above every other name. He is the living word of God. He is the way and the truth. He is the resurrection and the life. He is risen from the dead, and he is awesome and wonderful and amazing. And if that's not good news to share, then I don't know what is. Okay? We have all of those wonderful things to share about Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful news. He's risen from the dead, and he does all of those things. He is all of those things. He is all of those things to everyone. If you feel misunderstood, he understands you. If you feel like an outcast, he brings you in. If you are a sinner, like we all are, he is the one who paid the sin debt for us. He loves us. He reaches to us. And that's the good news. So I want you to think about the empty tomb this week and think about the wonderful good news that you have to share. Spread the good news about Jesus. Share it from your heart and share it far and wide. Let everyone know what Jesus has done for you and who he is to you.